Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Come on, I came all the way from Georgia to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
In your bulletin, there are a great number of these little inserts. I'm going to ask you to try to find that because today we have a number of passages that are in this sermon, and I want you to keep this. If you don't have one of these, raise your hand and we'll get one to you because I think it'll help. This will make a lot more sense. The kids back over this way need some. I want to pick one of these as a way to set a feeling for our time together, and it's going to be the one that says courage from the first chapter of Joshua. I invite you to listen to the Word of God. Let's pray together and go to the Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we ask that you clear our hearts and minds of the cares of this day. Let us come to your Word expecting to be fed. For Jesus' sake, amen. Joshua 1:9. I thereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this is the word of the Lord. Boy, oh boy, we got a long way to go around here. This is the word of the Lord. Oh, that's perfect. My friend Tim Eager was a member of the Destin, Florida Rotary Club. Rotary is a civic organization that has been working to eradicate a really unnecessary disease called polio. I have been a consultant for that program for almost 35 years. I am an honorary Rotarian because of my fight against polio in so many countries around the world. Tim asked me to come and speak, and we had a big time. When it was over, he walked up to me, and he says, "My wife has a gift for you." And I thought, well, you know, that's good. I'm trying to raise a couple of $1 million. Come on, lady. She comes down. She looks like any lady in this congregation. She looks at me and says, "Ben Mathis, can you see them?" And I said, "No, I guess I can't." And she said, "Ben Mathis, you are surrounded by the biggest, meanest, ugliest angels I have ever seen. And Ben Mathis, that's why you are still alive." I am a believer in Jesus. And I said, "Well, I believe that. And I thank you for that. I don't want to meet him anytime soon, but it's good to know that they're here. And I believe that." Her husband then spoke up and he said, "That's her gift. This woman can see angels." How many of you believe that? Raise your hand real quickly, because I do very much so. I was sharing it with Umba Ngandu. Umba is the first fella I ever hired with Roe. He is our director in a country called the Congo. Umba's very much alive in Christ, and he agreed with me about angels, and we celebrated that. I was with Umba because we have recently had a huge influx of two groups of people coming into West Africa. We've had a huge influx of communist Chinese and a Muslim terror organization called Hezbollah. And they're all coming to West Africa for the same thing. They're looking for the uranium, the cobalt, the diamonds, and the other hardwoods and natural resources of the Congo, and they all want it. And I was in Congo specifically to do to them what I'm doing to you right now. If you have a cell phone with you, I want you to turn it on and act like you're getting online. And then raise your hand when you see something unusual. Let's see who's first. I won't tell Brent you had your cell phones on in church, I promise. If you're looking for internet, the first thing I mean, if you're going to get online, the first thing you do is look for internet. So we're looking for internet, and when you see something, raise your hand. Let's see who's first. Oh, there's a hand in the back already. There's another right over here. Do I have three? Do I have three? Have I got three? Have I got four? Have I got four? I got five. Anybody else? Come on, somebody's got to see it. There's a bunch of hands. There's some more. What are you seeing? Arabic. You're seeing Arabic on your cell phone. Do you know what it says in Arabic? In Arabic, it says free Wi-Fi. Now, let's imagine you're a Muslim terrorist and you're sitting in a restaurant and you want to find out who blew up who today. You would get on the phone, and if you saw free Wi-Fi, what are you going to do? You're probably going to hit on it, aren't you? And if you hit on it, you can go to the internet. And if you hit on it and try to go to the internet, I have you. You can go nowhere but to me. And one of two things will happen. Can you turn this down just a little bit, whoever's in charge of sound? Because one of two things is going to happen. It will either audibly download what's called the Sermon on the Mount in Arabic into your phone, or it's going to download in Arabic a movie called The Jesus Film. See, it's my belief that they don't love us because they don't know us. So if you were with me in Sunday school this morning, I showed you Russians in Vietnam, a university student in Vietnam, communist Chinese. I showed you Hezbollah terrorists sitting in a restaurant. And I've been spending part of my time traveling the world and putting the Sermon on the Mount and the Jesus Film on the cell phones of people who need to be reminded that God loves them and I do too. I call it preemptive Christianity. I'm going to disconnect this device right now so that it doesn't go off in your phone, just so you'll know. Umba and I started by doing it with some communist Chinese fellas, and I found one fella who had two cell phones, and he was watching on both cell phones at the same time. The big key is to act like you're not the one doing this. Then we went into a restaurant that I showed you a picture of this morning that by day is a Lebanese restaurant. At night, it is the gathering point for all of these Muslim terrorists. The first night there were 20, there were probably 15 Congolese. There was Umba and me, and we were broadcasting the gospel. We went back a couple of days later, and there were maybe 50 terrorists, 20 Congolese. There was Umba and me, and we're broadcasting the gospel. As if on cue, the 20 Congolese all stood up, and they were not a group, but they all stood up at the same time, and they walked out the door of the restaurant without paying their bill. As soon as they were gone, the Hezbollah fellas started leaning back and forth like this to stare at me and to stare at Umba. And you know me well enough, I started leaning back in my chair to stare at them, and Umba would stare at them. And then, as if on cue, all 50 of these terrorists stood up, walked out the door, and I knew I was in trouble. I realized there's only one door out of this restaurant. My first mistake. And then I realized that there are windows all along the side, and I can see that these 50 terrorists have all perched themselves on their trucks and their cars right out the door of this restaurant, and they're standing there with their arms crossed, and they're staring at Umba, and they're staring at me. I spoke to Umba, and I said, "It looks like we've been discovered." And very calmly, he said, "Yes, it does." I said, "Umba, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray together. I'm going to walk over here and pay the bill, and then we're going to walk out the door like we own this place." And Umba said, "That's right." So we prayed together. I paid the bill. Umba stood up beside me. We walked out the door. It is the same distance, basically, from here to the back of the church. We walked out the door, and when we stepped outside the door, the terrorists, all their cars, all of their trucks, all of the terrorists were gone. They were just gone. You can see way down the street in either direction, and Umba looks one way, I look there. We're looking back and forth down the street, and they are all gone. They were there, and then they were gone. We were both so stunned that we just stood there, and I wouldn't even tell you this, except Umba was there. You can email him and ask him about this. One of us finally said the first passage on here, Psalm 91. "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." We walked back to the hotel that night, and I sat in my room thinking, "All right, Lord, what have I just experienced, and what can I learn from this that I can share with you?" What I learned is that all of us have doors we've got to walk through in life. It may be a door that leads to an issue about our health, or right after graduation, life decisions. It could be going through a door that has something to do with age, whether you're very young or very old. It could be a door that has something to do with your job. But we all have doors that we have to walk through. It may not be terrorists waiting on the other side, but there's something. And what can we learn from this that will prepare us as we leave this place and walk out the doors of the church? I think it starts when I ask you, well, who are you? And if I walked up and said, who are you? Some of you might say, well, I'm a grandmother and I've got 5 grandchildren and I just love them to death. Or you may say, I'm a businessman. I'm still doing business. It's not what it used to be. I hope it gets better. You might look at me and be, oh, drawn over like this and shriveled up with circles under your eyes and barely able to move. And you look at me and say, well, Ben, I'm the 27-year-old mother of 3 little boys. How do you think I'm doing? But I wonder how many of you would look at me and say, well, Ben, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I am a child of God. You know, honestly, most of us don't think of our description of ourselves that way. We don't think, first of all, I am a child of God. Look at the text. The proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go to the next one. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. Do you know why we like those 2 passages? Because it says we and us, and it's not very personal that way. Let's make it more personal. Look at this. The proof of God's amazing love is this. I am a sinner and Christ died for me. Say that with me. The proof of God's amazing love is this. I am a sinner and Christ died for me. Look at the next one. See what love the Father has given me, that I should be called children of God, for that's what I am. Say that. See what love the Father has given me, that I should be called a child of God, because that's what I am. Now, in the morning, when you get up, do not walk into the bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror and go, oh, Lord. Look at yourself in the mirror and go, Lord, Lord, I am a child of God. I'm not just any old body. I am a child of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. And you know what happens? If you'll start building that into your identity, if you start making that a part of who you are, you know what happens? You gain the same courage and strength that Joshua received from God 3,800 years ago, when the Lord said to him, I command you, it's not an option, I command you to what? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. Why? Because the Lord is with you wherever you go. Build into your identity that you are a child of God and you will receive that same strength and courage. I want to start a rumor. Since Brent's not here today, I want you to start a rumor that y'all are going to send him to the Dominican Republic to be a part of our pastor training school. That's rumor number 1. Rumor number 2, I want you to start spreading the word that the whole church has agreed to move to Cambodia with me for a year. We'll make him sorry he wasn't here. I would love him to come to our pastor training school. We work with indigenous pastors. They come out of the jungle and they've got small churches and they're just so wonderful. And who's ever led a Bible study? Raise your hand if you've ever led a Bible study. Oh, then you know what I'm talking about when I say there's always somebody in there. When you lead a Bible study, you know who I'm talking about. There's always somebody. And I want Brent to meet Pastor Batiste. It'll be more fun. Everybody's there. You're reading scripture. You've prayed together. You've had a big time. Then it's question and answer time. And Pastor Batiste raises his hand. He won't know what's going to hit him. Because Pastor Batiste will say something like, you know, in the 7th chapter of John, the 8th chapter of Hebrews, around Romans 13, and towards the end of 2 Thessalonians, there's a theme about the expiation of sin. Could you unpack that a little more for me? You're sitting there going, say what? And he'll say it again. You go, oh my goodness, this man really knows his Bible. He'll say it again, and you think, I got no business teaching this man. He really knows Scripture. And then he'll say something else, and then you look at him, and you recognize, Pastor Batiste, he's blind. He's blind, and he's memorized the entire New Testament. This man was born into abject poverty in Haiti. He could have stayed in the back of a hut and ended up as a beggar on the streets of Laogan or Jacmel, Haiti, but he didn't. Early on in life, he recognized, you know, the light of life is not shining through his eyes, But oh, the light of Jesus can. And you know what he did? He eventually had a daughter. And he had his daughter, who is now an attorney, read the New Testament to him until he memorized the whole thing just to prepare him to courageously serve the Lord in a very difficult place. Say amen. Amen. You affirm that you are a child of God. You will receive the same courage that God gave to Pastor Batiste. And you know what happens out of that? You begin transforming your mind. Look at the next two passages. I love these. I love this translation. Look at the first one. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. And he says, see, everything has become new. What a great translation. See, everything's become new. The next one. Do not be conformed to the world, but by the renewing of your mind be what? How are you feeling this morning? We ate breakfast with a bunch of y'all this morning. Didn't we have fun? And we made the mistake of talking about current events and what we'd heard on the news. You know, this morning, if you're not feeling all that good inside, why don't you ask yourself a few questions? What did you watch on television in the last 3 days? In the last 2 days, what did you do on the internet? What did you read in the newspaper today? And if you're feeling kind of yucky inside, you wonder why. Tell me your name. David. How old are you, David? Nathan. He changed his name on me. This is David Nathan. How old are you?
I'm 16.
He's 16 years old. Now, tell me if this isn't true. I just saw him eating brownies, and the kid can snarf a brownie like nobody's business. If you went to Burger Doodle and got a whole bag of that stuff, you could eat the whole thing, couldn't you? No problem, right? No problem. Eat that whole thing. A double what you call it with everything on it, right? At least. Can you imagine that? Isn't that incredible? If I followed you and did the exact same thing, I would die before I got out of the parking lot. I would just fall over dead. Who else would? But I used to could do it, didn't you? I could do that. 50 years ago, I could do that. It's the same thing with the other stuff you put in your head. I want you to hear this. What you put in your brain stays on your mind. Isn't that good? What you put in your brain stays on your mind. And it's just like junk food. You put junk in there, that's what's going to be inside you. You put junk on your brain, that's what's going to be on your mind. I've gotten off Facebook. Done. I got rid of cable TV. Done. I watch movies on Apple TV. That's it. Life is so much easier. It's so much less stressful. I'm so much happier because I made the decision to get rid of the junk that's bombarding my life. And I'm a lot more at peace. You know, if you wake up during the night and you're down in the dumps, you're probably living in the past. If you wake up in the night and you toss and turn and worry, you're trying to live into the future, and you can't do that. If you want to be at peace, being at peace means living in this very moment with Jesus. Let's take right now as an example. Right now, you're probably not too hot and you're not too cold. Right now, you're basically comfortable. Shake your head. Right now, you might be sleepy, but that's my fault. But otherwise, right now, you're pretty good, aren't you? Everything's all right. You know that you are held in the palm of God's hands, and everything's going to be all right, don't you? Shake your head. Of course you do. Now, tonight, if you wake up and you want to toss and turn, I want you to tell yourself, wait a minute, stop. I'm okay. I'm neither hot nor cold. I'm under the covers. Nobody's breaking in my house. I don't hear bombs going off around me. I am safe. I'm held in the palm of God's hands, and you'll fall sound asleep. And then when you wake up and you have that same feeling, do it again and see if for just a moment you can be at peace with Christ. And then see if it becomes a moment and a half, and maybe 2 moments, and maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and maybe 5 minutes you experience being at peace in this very present moment with Christ. Try to extend that out to an entire day lived in the peace that passes understanding. If you can get to where you are at peace for an entire day, then you are ready to go with me to the Rio Grande de Matagalpa in Nicaragua. Again, that was my Ricardo Montalban accent. We talked about it in Sunday school. If you were there, if you didn't, you missed seeing a beautiful river. We're on 60 miles of this river. There are 19 communities. We're the only folks doing ministry. It's just fabulous. About halfway up, we're building a conference center, a clinic, a major base to reach all of this river. Part of the river has what's called an oxbow, where the river does this. And there's a little piece of land, and the boat has to go all the way around. So we get out and walk across a little piece of land. It's a village called Esperanza. You get out, and there's a church there that was started by Moravian missionaries in 1930. The music is dreadful. I wish you would come and just a few classes here, a few classes there. It's just really incredible, but you'd be nice. We walk outside of the church, and here come four men on horseback just walking by. It's just another day. But then here comes a father. Here comes a father who is carrying his little boy, and he's walking with that universal expression of a parent who is desperately concerned for his child. We stop and we ask him, what's going on? The little boy has just fallen from his horse, and he split his thigh open all the way to the bone. It is literally 40 miles upriver in a dugout canoe to get to the nearest medical facility. By the time he does that, that child will either bleed to death, get horribly infected, or die of exposure. But on that day, Roe was in town. Roe was there, and we had a first aid kit as big as your communion table back there. And we had Peter and Raul, who know how to use that first aid kit, and they went right after fixing up that little boy. Roe was there, and we had a boat. But we also had a motor, and we had fuel, and we had this huge man named Chiquito who can drive like nobody's business. And on that day, we put that little boy and his daddy in the boat. I showed you their picture. He was in the hospital in less than an hour, and he's going to be just fine. Thank you very much. Say amen. Amen. Now, you know what that was? That was a success. Success. Success is when you use the gifts God's given you to bring glory to Jesus. I'm going to say that one again. Success is when you use the gifts God's given you to bring glory to Jesus Christ. And for Roe, our success, our gift is we know Jungle Rivers. We're going to have a first aid kit as big as your communion table. We're going to have Peter, and we're going to have Raul. We're going to have a boat. We're going to have a motor. We're going to have fuel. And we're also going to have this huge man named Chiquito who can drive like nobody's business. And you ask anybody on the Rio Grande de Matagalpa, do you know the little boy Avilio? And everybody will say, praise the Lord. So the obvious question is, what is your gift? And if your gift is doing music, keep doing music. Keep doing it. It's wonderful. If your gift is running your business, keep running your business. If your gift is being compassionate, work on that compassion. If your gift is being an encourager, encourage people. If your gift is making money, talk to me. Isn't that fun? I can say encourage, compassion, run a business, do music, and everybody sort of sits there. You say money, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to get near you, Ben. You know, if you know how to make money, then you know and I know it's just like doing the laundry. It's just something you do, and you're good at it. That's all it is. I can't think of anything more exciting than to take your gift and invest it in a world that is so desperately in need. Whether that gift is compassion or making money or music, take that gift and use it as a success for Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, the call is simple. The acts of change. These are the things that will change your life. Affirm. You are not just any old body. I'm sorry, you can't buy that anymore. You are a child of the risen God. Doesn't get any better than that. Once you build that into your mindset and your identity, you will receive the same courage that God gave to Joshua. You will. And that'll help you take a step towards transforming your mind so that you experience the peace that passes understanding from being right there in the hands of Jesus. And that is what will lead you to taking the gifts God's given you and use them as a success for the kingdom of God. If you want to talk about that, if you want to pray about this, if this is the day, this is the day that finally this makes sense to you. Ron is going to be right back by that door when service is over. And he'd love to sit down and share some more and to hear your story, to find out how God is going to use you to be a success in his kingdom. God bless you. You stay strong. God bless America. Let's pray together. Do that in just a second. Father, we thank you for this day. Isn't it fun to be together in a place where we can worship and sing and praise and rejoice in the hope that is ours in Jesus? Lord, it doesn't matter where we've been. It's where you're taking us right now. Father, help us to affirm that we are yours. You paid the price. We are yours. That courage is ours. We don't have to keep being beaten up by this world and what's happening in it. Instead, you can help us focus on the gifts you've given us so that we can use them to bring success to your kingdom. Oh, Lord, this day fill us with hope. Fill us with the promise of tomorrow. And may the peace that passes all understanding be ours this day and forevermore. Amen.